You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Yeah.
And we're back!
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows where they might.
Well, actually, if you use MapQuest, you know where you're going to end up. You know?
Oh, sometimes.
Oh.
I'll tell you what. It feels like we have been off forever.
I know.
Could that possibly have been 2 weeks?
It feels like an eternity, right?
Oh, I haven't seen you guys in so long.
Well,
I miss you.
Here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Bing is for doing, and it's about that time for the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Hi, Jason J. Carter, and hello, ladies.
How are you?
I'm
Star
good.
Session over here.
And I'm Julie Parton.
And we're missing Kelly Olisky tonight. She's actually out at an event making it happen. So, Kelly, we'll see you next week. Miss you, love you.
Ma'am.
Grey's Anatomy. Julie, you were saying that it's been, like, eons since we've been...
And we aren't the only ones that feel this way. Everyone online keeps saying, where did it go? What are we going to do? We're famished here without our Grey's hookup.
For sure. We were definitely going through withdrawals. Star almost had to commit me earlier. You know, so, but we're back. An all-new episode. Tons of cool stuff going on Grey's. And tonight's episode was okay. You guys know me. I'm a diehard Grey's fan. So when there's elements of Grey's that are not in the show, I'm kind of like, let's watch something else. But tonight I felt like, okay, they're getting back to what they used to do. And that was wow me at every single scene.
So every element was in there.
A little bit. We'll get to that later. But
okay.
Let's get into it. Mm. Avery now owns a hospital.
Which, to me, when that happened in the last episode, it was like, boom, mind blown,
right.
Screaming at you guys. And then I didn't feel like it delivered as much as I was wanting it to. I just thought it was going to be more fireworks, more drama, jaw-dropping.
Okay. I mean, I saw the chaos, and I like the chaos.
Yeah.
Everything was kind of being put on his plate all at once. It was kind of exciting, in my opinion.
I thought maybe it was a little too realistic as to what that would look like when somebody would take off. I don't know what I was expecting. I think all the doctors aside from Avery were less crazy than I thought about the whole situation.
Well,
like, they were giving him a little bit of a hard time,
but not like it could have been.
I thought they were going to torture him, you know?
Right. You're right, Julie. Boom. OMG. Honey, here's a hospital. You're welcome. Happy Hanukkah. You know, here's a hospital. Go with it. Do whatever you want with it. If you don't like it, we'll return it. 30-day return policy. But yeah, you're right. It was massive. It was so, like, it was a jaw-dropping moment for sure. And everyone's faces were just, what the F? And then tonight, okay, so Grey's is doing this fast-forward thing this season where it's like, you don't really get the effect of anything. It just happens. Okay, now it's happening. So here we go. And tonight the doctors were kind of, you know, digging him a little bit, giving him, kind of ribbing him about, you know, your mom gave you a hospital. Did your mom make that decision? Are you wearing your mom's panties? I mean, did your mom this, your mom that? Your mom's a whack job. And poor Avery's just been being inundated with all these things because he's the boss now. So he has to sign off on transplant documents, janitorial supplies, people's happiness, Zoloft, Prozac. You name it, Avery's got to be the yes man for that. And so, but I do think that it's what was needed to take us over into something besides Cahill and the plane crash. And to add insult to injury, the statement that Jackson makes to Meredith after they're in the conference room, you know, they're going through it, really unhappy about what's going on. And he tells Meredith, well, you know, if you guys are in a plane crash and then by a hospital, we won't have to deal with this.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, boom, it is kind of the truth, but in a douchebaggy kind of way.
Right.
No, I cannot believe he said that. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, like, you shouldn't have even said that.
Right.
It's like whether
they're feeling those feelings or not, they would never vocalize
too
that.
Soon. Yeah, it's just too soon. Like, I cannot believe he said that. But everything's being put on his shoulder. And leading up to this point, he doesn't want to really live up to his name as an Avery. And when he got this hospital, it's like this big bam, you know? Like, you got a hospital, your mom gave it to you. And it's not the role he's ever wanted when it comes down to it.
What we find, though, tonight, you said something that's very powerful. Living yes. up to being an Avery. The whole underlying current of the Avery saga, we talk about this all the time. Grey's is a bunch of stories melded into one show.
Right.
So the Avery story is no one wants to assume responsibility for their legacy. Last season, they had an episode called Love, Life, and Legacy. And that's where we finally see Catherine Avery come into the fold where she's doing the penis transplant. And she talks about, you know, Jackson, get on board. This is your legacy. You're supposed to be about this. And he's not. So tonight we see that even more clearly because his father left the mother. So the mother's trying to compensate for her son's lack of having a father figure by giving him. It's
so
typical.
So in that point and towards the end of the episode, we find out that Avery is really her last name, just to be clear.
Is that
what's going on? Avery's her last name. He doesn't have his dad's last name.
I think they clarified that.
They don't.
He could have been the Avery and she could handle the weight of being an Avery and he couldn't.
Right.
So it could have been either way, but it seemed like that was her last name. And
she was like,
he just couldn't handle coming into the mix.
Into the mix, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
And how many maybe I'm just not smart tonight, but how many foundations do you know actually have that much cash on hand to purchase a hospital?
I'll tell you what, more than you would think. There was a time whenever Bill and Melinda Gates gave away like the large majority of their fortune, and he dropped from the richest person in the world to that Mexican radio guy, right?
Right. Mark Cuban.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know the name. He encouraged all the billionaires in the world to give away like 75% of their wealth, and they would still be billionaires.
Right.
Oh, and so there are people out there, I don't know them, I'm sure they exist, who are seriously like, well,
I don't know them.
$750,000? Chump change.
Like, I fart that, you know? Seriously. Like, I would just want is a new convertible. I mean, you can just write me a check for $25,000.
Make that too?
Camaro convertible. I'll be happy.
Maybe you guys could apply for some federal grants to get yourselves convertibles.
There you go.
The thing about this is that I feel like anytime there's a miraculous crescendo and the plot has reached the highest point.
The zenith.
You have to go through a little bit of messy details to pretend like this is how it was realistic and this is how it's going to look in the reality of the story now. And so we had to have this episode, you know? Like last week, the plane crash came to a place that I liked more than I ever thought possible.
Sure.
All of that, Cahill, Pegasus, I didn't see any of it coming to such an awesome story arc. And then so today we just sort of had to deal with the fallout of having that fantastic moment.
Right.
What does it really look like?
It's like the fun's over for a minute.
I know, right?
And whoever, Grey's writers, the Pegasus, really?
I can't get over that.
Are you serious? I love it.
It's like these Samsung commercials, Unicorn Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? But you're right, Julie, that we now have to get to the technicalities of what's going on to get to the next arc.
It's definitely a filler episode for me.
For sure.
Yeah.
So moving on, so there you have it. Avery owns a hospital. No one likes him. Everyone's mad at him. They hate his mother. They think he's a mama's boy. Boom.
Owen quits.
Let's gab about Owen quitting.
Okay, so first of all, let's backtrack. Avery says in the first meeting of the morning where he brings donuts to, I don't know, liven the morale. Like,
okay, so there you go. There's a jelly donut, and you guys all suck.
Whatever, that's cute. When I first met my AfterBuzz coasters, I brought macaroons.
No, I mean, I love the gesture.
You just want people to like you.
Gesture's great.
You brought us macaroons?
Yes, I stopped by a French bakery.
Where was I?
You were there.
Oh, there? No one appreciated you.
Jen Golden said, oh, you brought desserts. Keep doing that.
I was on my LA diet, though. That's why I didn't have any.
Oh, there you go. Of course.
So he brings the donuts, and he starts the meeting, and he kind of slips and says, I think I'm going to have to fire Owen just to help with the boost morale when there's changes going on. The episode's called Transplant Wasteland. They're transplanting. They're changing things. It's kind of like the waste kind of needs to go, and that would be Owen, but isn't that like legally you shouldn't do that? You shouldn't say someone's going to be fired until they're fired?
Well, they have to be notified first.
Right?
The powers that be, you cannot fire someone in an email. You have to notify HR first. HR has to call the person in with the powers
are
that be to
serious?
Make it happen.
Yes.
You can't work for me and me tell you and tell your my subordinate that I'm gonna fire Julie Parton.
Actually, this happened to me before. My boss told a bunch of people she was planning on firing me. I found out through the grapevine.
You should have sued and got your job back.
I guess I should have.
Oh, never quit.
No, I quit. I didn't care that much.
Oh, okay.
And she ended up getting reprimanded.
Well, yeah, that's time. Right. Yeah, that's a huge HR infraction.
Yeah, so that was kind of like a whoa moment for me.
And then fast forward.
Yes.
We have, so Owen, of course, always hyper emotional. And is it me or does he blink like 5 million miles an hour? he's a world-class blinker. He needs a gold medal in blinking. I think it's because his eyelashes are red.
He's up there with Kristen Stewart.
God. it's like Owen, like, dude, calm down. Adderall, Vyvanse.
No, he does not calm down. He gets really heated in this scene.
Well, it's because he's Irish.
Yeah. Oh.
He's never calm ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, PTSD. Owen, we know you have it, okay?
We know that, Owen.
But, you know, him and Derek have a mine's bigger than yours moment.
Well, no, let's back up. Christina goes and, like, tells the beans right away. She didn't even, like, let the moment breathe.
Well, that's Yang for you. She's always in someone's mix.
True.
Man,
okay,
Yang
continue.
Was just approaching everyone on everything tonight.
Yeah.
She's all-knowing, all-powerful, putting people in their place left and right.
She's an Asian Oprah. She walks through walls. She's like a ninja.
Oh, my gosh. Christina Yang. Yeah, so she tells him, and he blows up. And then as it's happening, Avery comes over, starts, you know, they talk about the issue. And Avery's like, it was a conversation that was happening. And, yes, she might be getting fired, but it's nothing set in stone. And then that's when Shepard comes over, and that's when it gets heated.
Well, it's like, we're going to kill you. However, it's not decided yet, but it is a conversation. We're trying to figure out how we're going to do it. So just stay tuned, stand by, you know.
Yeah, that's not one of those. Oh, sorry to interrupt.
My bad.
Yeah.
But I understand. Oh, and then Owen sticks up for himself. He says, you know, I've been through the ringer the last couple episodes. You know, whoever's writing my drama is really doing it to me this season.
And it's a good point.
Right, he has. Him and Richard, poor guys.
They've been tossing Owen around left and right, making him look like an idiot. Standing up for the wrong things, believing the wrong people.
It's like they're really challenging his masculinity in this show. But, you know, but honestly, though, in Owen's defense, though, I feel as like they need to lay off of him. I would break, too. You know, Christina left him. Poor guy.
Jason, I'm getting a leave Britney alone moment from you. Honestly.
I mean, he blinks 5 miles an hour. It's just like, poor guy. Let's you know... Owen, take a break. Hashtag Owen, take a break.
Let's get that trending
Owen,
right
have
now.
A seat.
I think it's so weird that Christina is all of a sudden so loyal to him. She was cheating on him, leaving him, ignoring his deepest hopes and desires. All of a sudden, they get a divorce, and she is pledging allegiance to him, sticking up for him behind his back, going straight to him when people are talking about him. It's just a weird timing for her to start being this way.
This season is very weird Christina writing. I think that... with all the veterans, it's weird. With Bailey being... Okay, so it's like, what's Bailey's problem? We know she's mad about the money in the hospital and her identity, but we can't get a wrangle on her this season.
Well, there's just so many characters, and I think more of the interns are getting more of the storyline, in my opinion, than the veterans.
Right.
You know, when it comes down to it, it's like, yeah, where is she going? Where is everybody else going? Like, I'm just not really sure.
Callie and Arizona have been the most solid storyline between the veterans as far as, you know, consistently. But Chandra Wilson directed tonight's episode, so it could be, you know, Chandra plays Bailey after Buzzers, if you didn't know that. So it could be, you know, because she's behind the scenes, you know, behind the lens. But Owen, that was just weird. And then he gets in his Dodge Ram truck. Star's like, yeah, he drives a truck.
Of course he would drive a truck, right? He like drove away in that truck like he owned that thing. I loved it.
He should have rode off on a horse, right?
That
would have worked thing.
Yeah.
Like a steer, like a Clydesdale with no kind of straps, just like, I'm mad.
I quit. I cannot believe he quit that moment. I was like, he's getting feisty with that red hair.
I don't wish you the luck of the Irish.
So he'd crazy. Had it. Yeah, he'd had it, done. And he had every right to have had it.
And he should have quit a long time ago, in my opinion. I mean, honestly, like, all these things were kind of falling down on him, and through that, he stuck through it. But really, I would have been over it. I would have been like, I killed people accidentally. You know what I mean? I gotta go.
They don't pay me enough for this crap.
It's too much.
So we have some really weird patients. I guess tonight's patients weren't as... There's only one that really stuck out. We have the dialysis twins.
Well, they were doing a theme... Of all transplant patients.
For Domino. It was supposed to be, they mentioned the Domino transplant.
Yeah, but it did make the patient stories run together a little bit. We rarely see three of the same patient ailments.
They're trying something new. You know, and they were going off the name of the episode and everything changing.
It's fine to have a theme. It just, we were sort of like, okay, now who's getting what organ now?
But yeah. See, Julie and Star, in past seasons of Grey's, the patients have been so synonymous with the arc that's going on. The shooting, when Derek ran off into the woods, all the patients had longer arcs within the storyline to tie it all together. I'm not seeing that this season on Grey's.
Right. You're saying the patients are having shorter,
episode.
A lot of times the doctors were learning through speaking with the patients how they were really feeling. It was as though working with the patients was their own personal psychological conversations. Yeah. And I don't think we're seeing that much this season.
They're fellows and attendings now. And by the way, it's just very awkward seeing Meredith as an attending now because she's lost some of her wittiness. She's lost a little bit of her, you know, she's pregnant.
Meredith?
Yeah, Meredith.
I think Meredith is the best attending.
She's the best.
No, I like her personality. Like, remember when she snapped at Joe in the plane?
Yeah, she snapped a lot of times in this episode. She's like a little feisty.
What I'm saying, though, is that Meredith, she's authoritative now, and she's evolved into this attending. But Meredith is also the protagonist of the show. You know, it's...
It is her show.
It's one of the reasons why Grey's sucked us in... willingly, but over the years is because of Meredith and the whole story and her backstory and just her whole essence and the way
her inner monologue throughout
everything. And it's not resonating with me anymore. I'm not interested anymore. I'm more interested in the interns now, and it's sad. You know, it's like, okay, and I just wish that they would really get back to basics in regards to the veterans and give them more powerful storyline. She's pregnant. She's happy. They live in the house on the hill.
Where else would you grow with it?
Well,
where would you grow with her storyline?
I mean, they literally tried killing her off, you know, and having her soulmate be with his first wife right in front of her eyes. They tried a lot of things before they decided she could finally be in a place of peace.
And I don't like it. It's like, you know, it's like Mary J. Blige when she was whacked, cracked out. Her music was great.
And then, when she
got together, it was like, oh, okay, well, you know, we're happy now. So my music's going to be lackluster. Same thing with Meredith in the writing. I'm not really feeling it. I don't know. That's just something I've been thinking about over the course of the season. But back to the patients.
Yeah, I mean, the viewers out there, if you guys have anything to say about where you think Meredith's storyline should go,
let us know.
Let us know. Yeah, go over to iTunes and make sure you definitely click on it on Grey's Anatomy and share it with some friends and rate and comment. And make sure you tweet right now.
And five stars. We like five stars. Just like we like things that are really expensive, like, you know, Tiffany. We like five stars. It's right up there with that.
And do you agree with us? Do you think Meredith's storyline needs to grow and kind of go back to the basics?
Are you liking Meredith now that she's more matronly? I guess that's she's more matronly with Zola.
Yeah.
I think we had talked about this before. People who are in a similar position as Meredith, maybe somebody at home who has started a family and has a powerful career and is trying to do it all, the balance, I'm sure they relate to her story more. But it's easier and it's more interesting to go to the story from the perspective of the interns. Like, learning to become a doctor is way more exciting than being a good doctor.
Messing up and, doing horrible things and learning your craft. Yeah, right. It's more interesting to watch.
Everybody
wants
to screw up repeatedly. I mean, I'm still screwing up at 33. So one of the patients that was really, really cool tonight was, I'm sorry, I didn't get his name. Maybe I don't know if I was chewing my gum too loud, but I didn't get his name. He had the trach and he had some kind of internal...
The young guy doctor.
Right, the young guy doctor. So his story was, he's on life support, alive, like, talking. He's not in a coma, he's not brain dead, because normally on Grey's, when they're on life support, they're brain dead.
Yeah.
And in life, yeah.
Right, you know, just everything. So, and he, you know, him and Kevner have a relationship, you know, where if he chooses to die, he has 5 minutes after he's dead to harvest his organs, because he's donated his organs after he's gone, after he passes. So, you know, Kepner, they're always trying to save a patient. And sometimes I really wish they would just let the guy die. Teddy has been one of the only people that's like, look, if he wants to die, let's let this dude die.
Yeah, Teddy did have a lot of respect for the I want to die card.
People.
Yeah, right. She was like, if you want, we'll euthanize you and you can just go. You can go to that light in the sky. And
Teddy Kevorkian.
Right, for sure. And sometimes I agree with that. They're in pain. They're dismembered. They're terminal. Why are we trying? I mean, because Shepherd, they're all God complexes. They think they can save people. Terminal is a challenge. Meredith says in one of her monologues, if you're terminal, it's a challenge.
You know? I'm more on Meredith's side, honestly. And God complex or not, I would want people to want to live. And yeah. I would think, you know, even the guy, even after hearing the touching story of what his organs could do, still, were I in that situation, were I as doctor, were I as mom, I would encourage him to live the last, I don't know, 6 months of his life.
Yeah, I mean,
with his family.
The opening scene when we finally get introduced to his character, they're having a party. There's like hip hop music going on, red cups going on.
Red cups.
I'm like, what is going on? I cannot believe it.
Red cup.
And when Kepner's like, what is going on? He's like, booyah, welcome to my funeral. Like, I just love that line from him. He just kind of got a little real with it.
Booyah, welcome to my funeral. Phlegm everywhere.
Yeah, he was a little morbid, but
you know, we got the gist.
We got the gist.
But he ends up firing Kepner because he didn't want to be saved. He's like, sweetie, stop. That ship has sailed and crashed and burned along with the Lindenberg. And, of course, there is, Kepner has to be emotional and over the top and annoying.
Why not try?
Yeah.
But I guess at this point,
Kepner cares. Kepner, if there's anything we've learned about her character, is that she cares.
Hashtag sure. Kepner cares.
Way too much. Most of the time. She drives everybody crazy.
Yeah.
Because it takes everything too seriously, overanalyzes everything, but she really cares.
It's true. She's passionate about it, but
She did gently get fired in the sweetest firing I've ever seen.
And brought back.
Right.
Well, she brought herself back. She came in with some results showing why he wants to do this, which is to donate organs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a great gesture. She came in with the facts of where his organs are going to go, and it was really a touching moment.
It was more of an awakening for her,
mm-hmm.
not because for anyone else, for her and the family that was there, because the family came. And by the way, was that not the ugliest looking family ever? I was like, they could have cast
not necessarily ugly, but just not a good genetic fit as his parents.
Oh,
they
right.
wouldn't have had that eye color. It is what it is.
They would have even looked that far. I was checking out his mouth the whole time. As an actor, what do you think was in there? Cotton balls? Like he was chewing something the whole time.
Like his tongue.
It was really weird.
Phlegm.
You know what would have been unrealistic, but what I would have liked to see if she could have actually wheeled in on the hospital beds all the people whose organs that he was going to give. Like the little boy.
Would that be sanitary?
No, I know. It's unrealistic. I just would have liked to see it.
Oh. Yeah.
Or develop some sort of collage
like
with all their
montage.
Mm-hmm.
Like a PowerPoint presentation. And this girl and that guy.
Whatever. It was to sort of, like, that is what convinced Kepner herself, and that is what convinced the guy's family.
Right.
They no longer saw the fact that he wanted to leave them. They saw the fact that he was giving his body parts to these people to have a fuller life with their families.
Yeah.
You know, every time I see a scene like that on Grey's, because this is one of many donation scenes that have been on Grey's in the last 9 years, I think to myself, how would I feel in that instance if it was my brother, my twin brother, or my little sister, or my mom, and they were organ donors, and they had to pull the plug. How would I feel? I always think about that. Like, would I be that guy that's like screaming and yelling, holding on, shaking them not to take them? Or,
well, I mean, in the moment when they did take him off life support and he inevitably did die, Star lost it.
I when people cry and I see them cry instantly, it's like, I can't believe it. Because I knew the mom was going to break down. I knew it. I was like, as a mother, I could not sit there and see my son take his last breaths. I would not want to think of that memory. I would always want to think of him playing as a young boy, yada, yada, yada. So into it. And the moment she was like, I was like that too.
That was rough.
Crazy.
It was that's the stuff Gray's made of. Mom sobbing over their dead son's body and Kepner like, oh, well, time clock. Get off. Lady,
get off.
I'm sorry.
Get the organs.
Excuse me.
Get the jaws of life. Pry her off him.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Hysterical.
I mean, you know, it's time to go. It's time. No. We talked about this. It's time.
It's really time.
Right.
No, it's the whole thing is going to not be worth it if you don't get off, lady.
Mourn your son in the waiting room. Like it's so horrible.
Can we get a 10 cc's of propofol for this chick to knock her out real quick?
Oh my gosh, horrible. But this is the reason I keep coming back to Grace. This is the reason I tune in week after week, because it's that emotional moment where I get to get drawn into different characters and enjoy the show. And they do a great job at it. So keep it up.
Then we have Dialysis Girl.
Mm-hmm. Dialysis couple.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a little black family. I liked it.
Which really
they weren't at all like this.
It really wasn't standing out. I mean, Karev, of course, has done this scene many times before, where he has to coax under a tween to do what they're supposed to do.
He's good at that.
That's why he's in peds.
Yeah, true. Forgot about that.
That's why he's a pediatrics guy. Because underneath the douchebagginess, he really does have a heart, and he means
All of the traction that we had made with him not having a terrible personality, he was gone. He was just back to his old mean self.
Mm-hmm.
He was not being picky on who he was mean to. He was mean to everyone.
Well, it started off. Sorry to cut you off.
I know he's hurt, but people can still be nice when they're hurt. And he loses it, unlike any other character on the show. Like, if he's in a bad mood, boom, personality done.
True.
He actually gets uglier. He looks like he gets older when he gets... It's like he's so brooding. He's a really attractive guy. I mean, good Justin looking. Chambers was a model for Calvin Klein.
No, he's very attractive.
So,
yeah.
When he goes into the whole I'm angry Karev, his teeth look weird, and he just morphs into, it's like Go-Go Gadget ugly.
Oh, you know? No.
Go-Go Gadget eyebrow twitch.
Right, but he's upset over Joe because Joe's dating a brother, and Joe's getting some, not from Karev, and Karev thought they had a thing.
Let's talk about them for a second.
Yeah.
Do we really feel like Joe's completely oblivious to his feelings?
No!
Joe knows exactly what she's doing. She's playing those games.
She's stirring the pot.
I just don't know why he's being so mean to me.
Well, when they were in that elevator, I felt that chemistry. This new character.
Electricity.
Is it just me, or did he kind of look like Miguel? Is that just me?
Yeah, he did.
The new
He was Blasian. He looked black and Asian, right?
Yeah, well, something was going on there with
totally
those eyes.
Did. Yeah, Julie Miguel is an R&B singer. He won a Grammy for his album Kaleidoscope Dream. And
you guys act like I'm not a huge Miguel fan.
Oh.
Dude, you look like a deer in headlights.
You were like, who?
Okay, no, you're right. I had no idea who that was. I definitely was thinking it was some sort of Disney character.
Miguel, the Disney character.
A whole new world, what, Aladdin?
I don't know. My mind went there.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. But then Karev walks in, and he kind of sees them almost about to make out. And I wanted to see them make out. I was like, why did they cut it off there? But I knew he was going to walk in.
Yeah. And Meredith tells Joe, you know, girl, I speak Alex fluently.
I know, right?
That was so on the money. Great one-liner, Meredith. Great one-liner, Shonda. And she says he probably is going to hate you. deal with it.
Because it's a never-ending cycle with him. He meets a girl. Like, they're not really going outside of their minds to write him a better script. Because he likes a girl. He's mean to a girl. He doesn't like the girl. They backfire.
Well, with Izzy and Ava / Rebecca from seasons ago, you know, he did fall in love. He did give his all. He did really commit. And they leave him, or they cut she slits her wrist, and Meredith's...
And Joe said that. People leave him time and time and again, and I understand. That's what she was saying in the plane. I understand why he gets this way. And then she's like, I speak him fluently, but she really does understand him. And she even fought for that organ that was missing. You know, she really fights for Avery, for what's his name?
Karev.
Honestly, I like that his character is cyclical because it's way more realistic to reality.
Right.
Like, somebody doesn't change the way that they are in relationships most of the time. Like, your problems that you have with your partner, you repeat them partner after partner. And so I like the fact that he consistently has the same issues with girls the entire series.
He's a consistent hot mess.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what happens to people with rough childhoods sometimes.
Mm.
Speaking of, whoa, did we see a moment from Joe. Whenever that girl comes out inside of her, the one that sticks up and get what she need, you know, and you realize she had to fight for stuff as a kid, I believe it.
Yeah.
Well, like you had said so many times before, it's very reminiscent of Izzy, because Izzy was always willing to, you know, kick someone's butt for what she wanted to get done. She's like, I will kick your ass. You heard that line so many times in so many episodes from Izzy. And Joe's like Izzy 2.0, but prettier.
Oh, yeah.
I do think that they need to put the lid on this whole them not getting together, because I like them together. They look great. I know couples like Alex and Joe that are, they drink beer together, they hang out together, and they're so in love. And my older brother, that's my sister-in-law, my older brother's relationship. To a T.
Yeah,
so
I mean, that relationship is out there, yeah, for sure, and I like it too.
It works. It's organic. It's effortless. It's how things should be. It's forever, you know? And for her to throw him aside makes her look like a douchebag.
Well, yeah. In that moment when Meredith said, she stuck up for you all day, he immediately went to Joe's.
Love-hate relationship.
Right. Interrupted her date. And I started screaming, this is it, this is it, this is it.
This is the one.
And of course it wasn't it again, but it was a step in the right direction. You could tell that when he came and apologized to Joe in the middle of their date, her mind was no longer in that date.
Right.
Yeah. Her mind was with him entirely, scrutinizing what he had said, wondering what it means for them. He, like, threw off her game in a good way that you could tell that she's on his radar and this beautiful black guy is not going to last.
Right. Yeah. And he seems surface. He seems he's too suave. And,
yeah, there's a reason they're not giving him a backstory of any kind. Yeah,
he's not, there's no sparks there. There's sparks with a Krev and Joe.
No, there's definitely sparks. She's sparking with anyone of chocolate. You know, I can definitely see her dating someone
Krev
of chocolate.
Is not chocolate.
No, but I can definitely see her dating that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, I like that flavor for
correct.
Her.
I mean, Kepner, too. She was definitely, you know, Shane and Avery. And Avery's like, you know, a mixture. So she likes a swirl. We can say that. It's not racial.
No.
So back to Kidney Girl and Kidney Guy. Yeah, they could have done without them. That was a filler relationship. It was very transient. Just like, yes, they need dialysis. She got a kidney. She didn't want the kidney. She says, can I get the kidney later? He says, no, you need the kidney now. Boom, she gets a kidney. Moving on.
But the other story about the transplants, where they were having a domino transplant,
right,
where I believe this is the situation where they get a good heart, and they give it to somebody who needs it the most, but then they give somebody who has a better heart to the person who needs a heart
right,
as well.
Right.
Mm. Right. So that story was also a little bit filler. But we ended up seeing Christina relate to this old guy in an evil, macabre way that
loved
proves
it.
That she could actually relate to the patients
right.
on some levels.
Yeah.
And that was, she was really in her element going to a dark place with this man.
It was so dark, there was no amount of light that could have lit that.
Will it really get me to his funeral? It'll help you dance on his grave.
She has this thing with old people this season.
You know, yeah, maybe that's her people group. Those are the ones that she can relate to.
Dr. Thomas, old guy.
Been there, done it, no time for crap.
Right.
She can just get there with them mentally.
She's in for the geriatrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. She's definitely their go cheerleader.
That should be her specialty.
Well, I like those old guys. I like
Dr.
the chemistry
Yang,
of them.
I do, yeah.
They were really funny. I mean, yes, they were a filler episode or filler, you know, episode, but their relationship was, their banter was a little off when they didn't really like each other and they had an old backstory and a grudge. You know what I mean? I kind of like that out of them.
That would be horrible to have a grudge against somebody and have to get their
heart. Yeah.
That would totally happen to me.
I know exactly whose heart you'd get.
Like, you know, like you see your ex and you hit them, you rear end them while you're texting and driving, that would happen to you.
But so, whatever it was, I found that moment with Christina, that was probably my favorite moment of the episode.
I agree. Because there's not very many good Christina moments this season.
Off and on. It's like you were saying, she's got a strange character. And honestly, she hasn't been that consistent from the beginning. Like, she's emotionally off, she's there, she's driven, she's not.
Her writing, though, Yang has always been one of the standout characters as far as the writing of her character.
Especially her one-liners.
Yeah.
She's always been great at those.
And I think she's not as vibrant. She's normally dry and witty, but still vibrant in the dry wit. Now she seems kind of like someone just threw water on her, and she's like a soppy wet rag. You're just like, she's just there.
She makes me laugh out loud at least once an episode. And
yeah.
I don't think any other character consistently does that week after week.
So what happens next now? We go to, let's get back on Owen, who, you know, runs away to the mountain. This escape pod they have in the mountain. Yeah. When in doubt, say anyone, look, there's a trailer on a hill. If you're mad, it's there, it's open, there's running water.
Go there. Deal with your issues. Hash it out with nature.
It's like Burning Man. Run around naked if you need to.
The worst, Derek hitting the ring into the woods with a baseball bat. I'm just so upset about life. Gush, boom.
Go in there.
I know. Owen pulling out his tight little sweatpants. I'm so upset with life.
And good. I'm blinking at 10 miles an hour now.
Although we joke about that, but that's literally, I think, the words Derek used. When somebody confronted, they were having their heart to heart. Finally, discussing things as men and not pouty boys.
No, it was a bromance. It was definitely a bromance, a brewing.
I thought they were going to make out.
I love that they were outside, though. That was like, I love when they get outside the hospital and then they run into the woods. You know, I just absolutely love it.
Derek's destroying all the grass by driving his Porsche SUV. I was like, wait a minute, is this like go-karts? Is this like left, right, left? You know, where Derek's going to be trailing behind him in the car. It was really awkward. He's like, Owen! Owen! So awkward. So weird. And Owen's, you know, going to town, matching sweatsuit all, you know, looking stubby. But yeah, they have a heart-to-heart.
And I think we knew how the conversation was going to go.
Right. Yeah.
Very, very, like, two-word answers.
Yeah. Meredith basically said every time that there's a problem about this hospital, you keep pushing it in his face. So what is the problem? You know, like, are you going to ever figure it out? And that's when he realized the problem really isn't
Christina
Owen.
Said that. Christina.
That's what I said.
You said Meredith.
I said Meredith, and I meant Christina.
That's what I meant.
That's exactly what I meant. But, you know, then once she brought that realization to him, he was like, I have to go to the woods and find him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I love their bromance moment where they got to hash it out and the... Yeah.
What was he mad? He was mad about life?
He just generally was like, Mark. I was pissed. I was pissed that Mark died. And I was pissed that Lexi died.
At the world.
Yeah, I was just... He was basically saying I was upset with life and taking it out on you.
And the fake cry, he couldn't really like pull it together. I felt like he wanted to laugh at every moment.
Right.
So we need to work on that with him. He needs to go to a real place, maybe.
And I'm really tired of his hair being perfect all the time. I really wish he would have some bedhead now and then, or maybe, like, I don't know, not as much gel. Because you can't take him seriously when he has that great a hair.
He'll never mess it up.
I don't know. I'm not going to be on your team on that one. I will take perfect McDreamy hair.
It was a Beyonce moment. There was wind blowing at every turn before the tears. I'm mad at the world. Wind blowing hair. Yeah, it was too much.
There was a few scenes there. I think Alex, Avery, everybody went on this little rant. The men in the show were like, I'm mad for this reason. They were all being very mad all at the same time, several scenes in a row.
Everyone was on their period.
Maybe they were all synced up. You know, I heard that girls, dude, they sync up together.
It was all the dudes in this one that were just like flying off the handle.
Yeah.
I'm so upset.
I'm so mad. You want to see like a stork flying with like some mite on, just drop it off and like, work it out, friend. But I'm glad that they went. I'm glad that he went to the woods to bring back Owen, because I like Owen. I think Owen's a good old boy. You know?
It is funny when you think about how many different people have gone to the woods and then somebody else goes and bring him back. Derek did that, and then Chief went and brought him back.
This is the second time Owen's retreated to the woods.
That's just like where they go.
Does everyone have a key to the to the Airstream out there? Like, what is going
on? Seriously, there's a blow up mattress in there. You know, you need to work it out. There's a
keys under the mat.
For sure. You know, just, you know, flush and leave toilet paper. You know, it's all good.
So funny.
So we come to the end of the episode.
Avery.
Everything works out.
Well, there was this moment where having three...
She got feisty, just like Owen.
Well, we didn't. Like, there was a moment where that we cannot pass up.
No, we're getting there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't think that was quite at the end.
No, it was at the end.
Okay.
But go ahead.
But there was all these transplants happening and all these doctors fighting over who was going to get what room, who could go first.
And there was like, I'm going first. This trumps that. I'm going next. Yeah.
Head to head.
Heart trumps kidney.
Yeah, this patient's trying to die like in peace. Be quiet in the hallway. All this was happening. Yes.
And then weirdly, which I didn't really get this, Callie comes in. And I don't remember exactly what she said, but it was something in effect of, I will handle this. I have the answer.
Right.
And then just runs off.
And then nothing.
She goes to the board and tries to figure out what she can maneuver.
That's where she went.
She went to the board to see what.
I'm with you. I didn't get anywhere.
It was Marty like, hey, I have the answer. What? Run away. Like, she did not have the answer. But that left everyone's eyesight looking at the door.
And Avery swooped
who
in.
Who else was going to be there but poor, beautiful, bullied Avery?
Aww. And he handles business. And then we see Bailey, well, you heard the man.
I know, what? Right?
Like, really, Bailey? Why are you co-signing? Why are you co-signing for Avery? I mean, he doesn't need you.
She has always been the instigator. Like, yeah. Well, maybe we should listen to Cahill. You heard the man. Like, whenever somebody does something and the whole room is questioning the authority, Bailey's like, well, listen to him. And then they think, well, if she says it.
Yeah, she's the echo that, like, enforces it.
It's because she's under 4 foot. She has that Napoleon complex. So she feels that since she's a short person, she has to, you know, assert her authority. I did a whole page on it back in eighth grade.
Eighth grade, yes.
I don't know about you, Star, but Jason's eighth grade paper would insinuate that you and I have Napoleon complex.
Possibly.
I'm kind of not going to disagree.
Listen to her.
All short people out there, the love of my life is under 5'8". In my world, that's short. I love you, short people.
Under 5'8"?
Well,
come
six,
on, bro.
I'm six,
yeah, that's
three.
Not even average.
Come on.
I'm 6'3".
Oh, okay. Us so, 5 feeters down here hearing Jason whine about 5'8".
How's the air down there?
Avery had the Napoleon thing going on tonight.
It just didn't, there was not enough picking on Avery for this moment to be glorious.
Right.
You know, like the chief was going back and forth with his mom, and there was turmoil surrounding Avery owning the leadership and people respecting him, but not enough. I mean, I have seen them bully April longer than have bullied him.
Right.
Well, there had to be that turning point, or it was just going to be a mess. Like, how would the episode end if he didn't pull it together?
I guess I wanted more bullying.
But I mean, I loved where Weber's point to his mom, which is you forced him into being this hospital, and you're going to force him into failure because she was just like, mm-hmm. Oh, he'll pull it together.
She has way too much faith in him.
Yeah, I know, right?
But she was sassy this episode. It had to be because of those tight clothes. Did you see that?
Thank you. That waistline was probably squeezing the hell out of her. She's lacking air.
She is always volumizing the whole thing up. Like, she is
glam.
Into surgery. Gofing. By the way, I have to make a statement. I am not in favor of bullying. I just wanted to see them being hard on Avery.
Right. I agree. I don't like Avery in an authoritative position. It seems like everyone has... Derek was chief, couldn't hack it. Owen was chief, could hack it, but really didn't want to hack it. Now we have Avery, who is his character's never really been dynamic or strong enough to even handle surgery.
Yeah, who knew that he could be like this man that could run a hospital?
It wasn't believable.
Yeah,
it was not believable. I would have rather have seen him failed and have them bullied him and him crumble and have it add to the
storyline.
Didn't have him. Da, 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 da. I'm going to save the day. I'm going to get a clue at the last minute. Tell people what to do.
His acting. He saw his face. He was like, I'm going to step up.
Yeah.
You go in here, you go in there, and that is final. I was like,
Yeah, this episode was not giving me anything that was worth, like, wow.
Yeah, I guess they could have went on a few more episodes
for
of him pulling it together and, like, getting
for
it.
Sure.
Or even
becoming inside of himself.
Even a moment where he was alone or something and he got the inspiration or he realized that he was capable. I don't know. It just wasn't a big enough swing for them to move into this boardroom scene where he literally changes the lives of everybody because he's got this brilliant idea. Like, it didn't seem feasible. Like, they wouldn't listen to him. I get it that none of the surgeons wanted to be the boss, but they wouldn't hand it over to somebody that they were training a few years ago.
Yeah, the transition into that scene where they're in the boardroom and signing off the papers and, oh, okay, congratulations, everyone. It just kind of like...
Yeah.
There wasn't any fight over it. There wasn't any, like, do you even have this together? Like, at least as a mentorship, can you handle this?
He's been avoiding being an Avery and taking, you know, living up to his legacy for 3 seasons now. And all of a sudden now he's like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I'm going to rename the hospital, mm-hmm. which was... Okay.
We're in the board, and he decides to go forward and say things that he thinks are priority to the rest of the team. And stuff that came out of nowhere, we all expected it, getting the ER back. Yay.
Okay.
Yay. We all saw that coming.
It's coming.
And yay. Level 1 trauma center.
Boom.
It needs to be that.
Sure.
Right. But then just to be all lovey-dovey, goody-goody, he decides we need a name change. As if it is not hard enough for us to remember every character's name, nickname, couple combo name. Now we have to remember the original hospital name, the hospital combo name, and the new hospital combo name.
And how he delivers it.
Go ahead. Give us an example, Jay.
He picks up...
I thought that was going to be the boardroom music.
He picks up a legal pad and decides, I think... After much thought, I need to do, you know, just pay homage to people who we've lost that we care about. and turns over this legal pad with perfectly scribed writing.
Perfect.
The Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital. Lame. So lame. Lame. I would have liked it to be called Lexamark Memorial Hospital.
Oh.
Or, you know, something that had, like, rolled off my tongue. Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital. That's like me saying, having the Carter, I don't know, Sanchez Memorial Hospital. It just is not.
It was
not
just blah, blah Memorial Hospital.
With perfect, but it was perfect penmanship on a legal pad. It could have came from the sky from an angel or been on, I don't know, something else. It was just bad. It was like, really, Grace? Really?
Well, okay. The reason they got this hospital, and he prefaces it before he shows the legal pad.
Really?
Which is because it's because they're coming together because of them passing.
Maybe. No. Okay. Gray but Sloan, Arizona's like Memorial Hospital.
Gray Sloan, fibula femur.
If I would have lost my leg, I would have been mad my thing wasn't in there too. My name wasn't in there too.
She'd be like, hold up.
My name ain't in there.
It should be the Gray Sloan Robbins. Or, you know, you have to go in alphabetical order, QRS. It should have been the Gray's Robbins Sloan Memorial Hospital.
Oh, I okay. So we don't hate on the show much because we love the show so much. I'm really, really curious after Buzzers if there's anybody out there that was affected emotionally by this and thought that it was a good gesture that wrapped up the plane crash, because to me it didn't fit. Don't change the name of Seattle Grace Mercy West. That's the flagship. There have been a lot of characters that died. They don't get their name on the headline, you know?
Right. Are we going to call the Starship Enterprise the Starship Geo Metro because, like, someone drove a Geo Metro? You know, like, what? Really?
What was that?
Horrible. Okay. You know, Julie, in answer to your question to the AfterBuzz, I'm upset about it. I'm going home.
Oh. Sit your butt down.
We're not done.
No, it just was like, okay, she did a great job directing. The characters were consistent, but don't change the name of the hospital in order to move on with the plot line. Like, I don't think they're going to come to work and see. Give him a wing, you know? Denny got a
wing. Oh, yeah,
wing.
Yeah, a little section
right,
of the
give
hospital.
Give him the cafeteria. Rename the cafeteria after them.
Spend all the money that you're going to take to spend on rebranding, printing new business cards.
Oh, my
cards,
gosh.
All the money that you're going to take to do that and do something to improve the lives of anyone besides just, like, mess up with
right.
a whole name.
Think
change.
Of a new
they
method.
They just rebranded.
3 seasons ago. Think of a new method for operating, but the Gray Sloan Memorial. And it just sounds stupid. Where do you work at, Gray Sloan? You know, it's just dumb. It's like, yeah, bad.
They
bad
had to
movie.
Do it. They had to do it.
Why?
Because they lost their lives.
Okay, well, I have nothing else to say about the matter.
And I guess I don't have the best argument for it. But, I mean, it happened, it's happening, and we got to get on board. No?
Yeah.
No, you're right. We have to get on board. We don't have to love it. I'm going to need to see more from you, Avery. Than coming up with a cheesy name change. I mean, you did keep it together in that one moment, which I appreciate, but
I'm not sold yet.
Well, I know, right?
Go
ahead.
You basically, I mean, he had this moment where I'm a new leading man. Like, I cannot believe he had this motivational speech at the end. He's this leading man. He's going to be leading all these people in this hospital, and they're going to be taking the lead from the boardroom to him. So, like, they're going to take the lead after him. He's going to figure out what's going on, and the board is going to have to listen to him.
The people in the room. Meredith was backing him up. Well, let's give him a chance. But they didn't even seem overly emotionally affected by the name change.
No.
Right. They were just, well, except for Derek, and he just nodded and
so, his hair wafting.
Yeah, I mean, wind blowing. But, you know, so we'll see. We'll see. But that was tonight's episode. As weird and kind of bland, I guess, or
it was a filler episode.
It was a transition episode. Because it wasn't filler. It needed to happen. There would have been a lot of loose ends and questions if it hadn't.
Right.
But good. Yay. Maybe, as I've wished for this entire season, we don't have to hear about that plane crash anymore.
Yeah.
It's wrapped up. I'm interested to see what's next, you know? Like, the doors are wide open.
Let's move.
Wow us.
Boom!
Bam!
Predictions, ladies and gentlemen.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I only have one.
Okay.
I think that Catherine Avery is going to be even more of a meddler and cause rifts between everyone now. Now that because she's the ultimate power player, she may have appointed Jackson to be head of the hospital, but her foundation owns the hospital, and at the end of the day, what she says goes as well. So I think that we're going to see a power struggle between the doctors and Catherine. She's going to become the queen bee, and Jackson's just going to be a pawn in her plan. And her her outfits are going to get tighter.
Oh. If it's possible. Well, okay. I just knowing the ebb and flow and just being in touch with the heartbeat of this show, it's too pretty right now.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
too pretty. Whatever Shonda has planned is coming.
Job
like
helper.
Something wicked this way comes.
For sure.
I think it involves the interns. It's soon. It's coming. I'm terrified. But I'm really, really stoked to see what it is. And I also think we're finally going to get some answers with Joe and Karev.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Christina and Oren are going to come to a place of, what are we? What is this? What are we doing here? And all over again.
Maybe he'll choke rap star.
Well, can we talk about what's happening next week a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, next week there's going to be some pregnant troubles. We're going to find out the sex of the baby. And it's kind of get. It sounds like next week is going to be another filler episode, in my opinion. I don't think it's going to have that wow moment. That is coming. I do definitely agree with that. But things are going to come to a head. Avery can't keep it together as we thought it is. I think there's still going to be that bullying moment where he doesn't have the answer to everything.
No.
We will. This baby will become real. Next week.
Zola's getting a brother or a sister.
I think it's going to be a
Oh, you know what
boy.
We should do? We should have a baby reveal party live. Cut into the little cupcake. Is it blue or is it pink?
Oh, my God.
Well, do you think it's going to be a boy or girl? How are they going to write
oh,
it?
Oh, we should predict that. Boy.
I say boy.
Boy. After buzzers, go online and let us know if you think it's going to be a boy or a girl. But that's all for this week's episode of the Grey's Anatomy After Show. Until next time, I am Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever and on Facebook at Jason J. Carter.
That's right, and I'm Star Session. You can find me at Star Session on Twitter, Facebook, and all the other social media sites.
And I'm Julie Parton. You can find me on Twitter at JULIEPARTIN.
Ooh. See you next Thursday. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV. Thoroughly 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 reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV.